Welcome to another episode of Civilianization. I'm Josh O'Brien, your host, and today's guest is BJ Lang. We'll get into all his details and all other fun stuff on the podcast itself. I just want to say it's really cool having him as a pal. About 6 months ago, he asked me to do stand-up comedy for a show. It was an award show for veterans of LA Film School, and they have a whole program just for vets, and they give away awards and like all kinds of really cool stuff. I got to meet some awesome veterans and VME, some American Legion Post 43 members. A lot of people from that place showed up, and I got to meet a lot of really neat, interesting people that I would have never have known, including BJ, if it wasn't for doing comedy for that one night. And that one night, even my old corpsman from NMCB 40 showed up. So shout out to Doc Perez. Real quick, before we kick off this episode, one of the things that's really near and dear to me is I just want to say, reach out to your brothers and sisters. If you haven't talked to some people in a while, or they start getting a little sketchy on the Facebooky book, reach out to them and just say what's up, you know. Or just if you just have a random thought of a friend or a veteran, it doesn't matter who, but just if you have a random thought of anybody that you served with, you know, just text them. Be like, hey, what's up, man? Hope you're doing good. And I thought about whatever, this crazy thing that happened in Puerto Rico, or, you know, I don't know, maybe you're at a farmer's market and you saw bananas. Something that reminds you of a friend, you know? And yeah, just reach out to your brothers and sisters. All right, anyways, let's get into the CB song. You don't want to hear me talk right now about this. You want to hear me talk about that. All right, here we go. Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I am here with
BJ Lang.
Did it take you that long to think of your name,
Rob? I did. Well, I also wanted to have a dramatic pause.
Oh, well, that was cool. Let's do it again. Yeah. Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I'm here with
BJ Lang.
Oh, I was hoping for the dramatic pause again.
That time I wanted to push it forward, so it's less dramatic, but more enthusiastic.
I actually, you know what?
Variety, John.
Way better. Variety. You know, and I'm so lazy, I'm not going to edit out either one of those. No, so we're just flowing from here on out, man.
Absolutely.
So BJ Lang, he is Air Force medic.
Correct.
Second City instructor.
That's right. Graduate of the Second City.
Yeah, graduate of Second City. Conservatory. And then also UCB, right?
Correct. I did UCB. I did IO. And when I say I did those, I graduated from.
Right. So UCB's Upright Citizens Brigade, and what's IO?
IO is Improv Olympic. It's another Chicago-based long-form improv comedy school that came out of the Second City.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I like how that works out, because, like, shout out to the Pushers in Norfolk, Virginia, because, you know, Brad, awesome guy. A lot of those guys, Sean, Brad, all them, awesome. And I like how the IO sprouted from UCB.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the same thing with the Pushers comedy guys, and I was doing a show. I know this is more about you than me. I'm hijacking the interview. But I was just doing some stand-up. The mic died on me. And then I just put down, and I just started yelling. And I saw Brody Stevens do stand-up comedy before, so I just kind of did my best Brody. And this is like 2010, 2011. And after it, Brad's like, hey, man, Brad McMillan, hey, man, you know, that's fucking pretty funny, man. You should come hang out sometime, blah, blah, blah. So I became friends with the enemy. No, I'm just that funny, like, skateboarder, rollerblader rivalry between stand-up comedy and improv comedy.
Yep.
Anyways, from then on out, I fucking loved the dude. And then fast forward to, they opened up their theater in Norfolk. It's a really good theater. They're very open. It's a very, very welcoming environment. And anyways, long story longer, I was doing the 101. I did their 201s. I did their classes, both sketch and writing and all that. Anyway, good shit.
What was the favorite thing that you learned out of doing improv or learning improv?
Well, what really shocked me was that things had names, because most of the stuff you just kind of, like, if you're a funny person, I don't want to say I'm a funny person, but I am, but it had names. It was like, oh, so building on top of that. Sure. So joining was a cool one, you know, because, you know,
obviously yes anding, because I didn't realize how teamwork and team structure,
yeah, collaboration.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, because that's why I always joke with you. I'm like, hey, how's that yes anding shit going, or whatever. But I love it, you know. And I mean, I'll talk shit because that's just what you do. It's like, I'm a Red Wings fan. I'll talk shit about the Colorado Avalanche all the time, but I respect the fuck out of Joe Sakic and Forsberg. Those guys were, you know, amazing fucking hockey players. You know what I mean?
Hockey, yeah.
And it's like, God damn it. Fuck them. They're so good.
Go Blues, by the way.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, there we go. We can go back to Brett Hull, but then again, he won a cup with Detroit.
Yeah.
But Tony Twist, great fighter.
Tony Twist, huge fighter. Him, Kelly Chase, all those guys.
Yeah, Twist and Chase back in the day. So since we said St. Louis, we'll start from your origin story. St. Louis, that's where you went in the military from then? Or?
Correct, yeah. I'm born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. All of my summers were in Texas with my mom. Like many of us out there, I came from a divorced family.
Oh, yeah.
So my summers were in Texas with my mom. Where I grew up in St. Louis, I was one of a few white guys. And then all of my summers were in Texas, where I was one of a few white guys, because my mom lived in South Texas, which you would have thought that I would have learned Spanish at some point.
Right, right.
I never did. And I'll be honest with you, I really do want to learn it because I feel bad about it, especially living here in L.A. I went today and had Mexican lunch, and she didn't speak any English. And so I'm like just pointing to the menu and uno, dos, tres, you know, trying to make it work. So, high school in St. Louis, Missouri, did community college, did community theater there, started taking improv classes in St. Louis, toured for a while, and we'll kind of bounce around the career here, but I kind of bounced around from different shows. I was hosting things for MTV at the time, and that got me in and out of New York and then in and out of L.A., and eventually, in 2009, I moved out to Los Angeles full time to pursue my acting and comedy career.
So, like, were you in the Air Force or already done with the Air Force when you started improv? Or
great question. I guess I should go back to going to like community college. I studied theater, was doing acting and doing different workshops in St. Louis, focusing more on film and TV, trying to follow the dream. What did this entertainment career even mean to me? Like, I knew that I wanted to pursue something in entertainment, obviously, as a talent. I worked for a syndicated morning radio program. I was the stunt boy for a long time.
Okay.
I did this while I was in college, got arrested, did all kinds of stupid pranks, dressed as a woman, and went to the gynecologist, went into a dumb college class where they asked questions live on the air. We were nationally syndicated, and so people would call and ask these questions. And I got arrested. So I did that for a while while I was trying to like do community theater and do I want to do film or TV?
Wait, did they at least bail you out?
So yeah. So I got
You just can't breeze right past this whole like small radio thing and getting, got busted, arrested. So
that's true.
And sorry to steal your momentum. But what happened there?
Well, and this will come back later on, Josh, because
we'll continue.
No, that's fine. We will come back to that because that affected me when I enlisted in the Air Force because of the arrests.
Okay.
So we'll come back to that. So that was like around 2000, 2002. I was working for the morning show, doing community theater, at dinner theater in St. Louis, did some workshops for improv comedy at a place called COCA, the Center of Contemporary Arts in St. Louis, one of my first improv coaches. And then I moved out here and tied back in with a school that I went through in St. Louis. I went through a place called The Improv Trick, which is a guy named Bill Cott, old Saturday Night Live guy, Dude, Where's My Car, The Ringer, awesome individual. He ran an improv school in St. Louis. I went through his program in the basement of this business incubator. And that was like my real, true improv roots. Like, I took workshops, you know, and like did like a 3 or 4 week workshop, like improv for the actor. But it wasn't really a program where you could build upon it. So I did Bill's school. At that point, I was hosting Spring Break for a long time, for like 4 or 5 years, down in Panama City Beach, Florida, and doing this thing called the World Series of Video Games.
Oh, so dude, that's dope. That was for MTV?
That was MTV 2 did World Series of Video Games, which came out of Game Riot. This is kind of a long story.
Well, go for it. It's a long-form podcast.
That's
true. I got to shut this door because birds are starting to get
good. I love, by the way, that you have the nature in your house, Josh. Josh has a very cool front room here with all of these comic books in here. And if you haven't seen on his Facebook, like watch the video of us doing the podcast right now. But yeah, you could hear the birds and you got your cat over here. Like,
dude, this is rare for Spaz because he usually like hides the entire time. And then like right after like, oh, I guess we're done. And he's all like, get the fuck out of my house. He walks out and like looks at everybody all like, what's up? You got to go.
That's how we knew we liked each other, Josh. That's how I knew I liked you. Not just because you're the comedy thing, but because you're a cat guy, and I'm a huge cat guy.
You know, Spaz made me that, you know.
Really? You weren't a cat person?
I wasn't not one. I wasn't one. I had them all my life. I just, you know, I wasn't planning on having pets. Long story longer, he's just so cool, man. And then I had...
he's chill. Look at him.
The neighborhoods, you know, La Barrio, I guess as they call it here, yeah, but Spanish, La Barrio.
Yeah.
But
I'm learning.
Next door... there's like a nice apartment complex. Now it's almost finished being built. Mm-hmm. It used to be two houses, one in the front, one back, just like my setup, right? Yeah. And then it was like nasty. And there was like rats and mice that ran up and down the fence line and shit. So I would feed all the neighborhood cats. And then this kitten, Spaz, was just a kitten. And he was just hanging out one day. And then I was just like, oh, dude. And I think we said it before we hit record on this, but they probably heard it already on this. The next thing you know... he's hanging out with me and he's now my house cat. And then I would let him in and out and he would just chill with me and watch movies. And he'd just stay on the floor and he would actually literally look up at the TV. And we'd be watching like Star Trek Next Generation.
Sure.
Or whatever we were just, you know, whatever TNG. I was vegging on, out on, you know. And I was like, oh, I remember this as a kid. I haven't seen it forever. And he's just like, oh. And I'd be playing Lamb of God really loud. And he'd just be like, oh. And every once in a while, he'll yawn. So what I'll do is I'll time his yawns and then I'll like do a video. So it just looks like he's going,
scream into it.
Yeah. So it looks like he's screaming this stuff. And it worked out pretty good. But yeah, Spaz is the shit, man.
Spaz is a very handsome cat, I might add.
Dude, he's, yeah, man. He's like, yeah, you should let me back outside, he says.
By the way, since I know there are other vets out there, and if you're active duty or if you're a veteran and you have a dog or a cat, militarypetclub.com brought to you courtesy of the Exchange and the Commissary on behalf of Purina. If you go on mymilitarypet.com or militarypetpcs.com.
Let's do this like a radio commercial. Did you say that's mypcs.com or my
military pet, mymilitarypet.com? That's correct, Josh. You could get free snacks on behalf of Purina for your pet
from mymilitarypet.com.
That's correct. militarypet.com, mymilitarypet.com.
Oh, and what can you get from them?
You can get free stuff from Purina, like Purina One Treats, cat treats, dog food, a bowl. They even sent me a cat tree.
Yeah.
You could have that, Josh.
Oh wow! Yeah, that's enough of that. But that's good. That's really cool, man.
That is cool. I found that out my last year on orders. They had something up in the Exchange, and I was like, "What's that?" Like, I have a cat, so I applied, and yeah. So then twice a year they send me coupons. The catch is, and the reason why it's for military and vets, you have to have access to base because they give you coupons to use at the Exchange or the Commissary.
Well, a lot of people don't know this too, and you should know this as well, ladies and gentlemen, that our veterans is no matter if you're rated at 0%, 0%.
That's right.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that still. But like you get the, I feel like we're just doing a lot of good commercials right now.
That's good. You know what though?
This is, check it out. This is our sizzle reel for commercial jobs right now.
Right.
Hey guys, hire us for your commercials. But yeah, 0% rating, you can get on base with that VA card. And a lot of people don't know that. That came into effect a few years ago. The only difference is like between that card and then like the
our retiree.
The retiree card, this you can take people on. Like, correct. Right. But with this,
with your VA healthcare ID card.
Not your Metro Pass.
Hey, that's New York.
It is.
It's a New York Metro Pass.
But if you get one of these VA cards, that's the one.
Yeah.
Where like you can get on as long base. As
it's a service connected.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah. So there's that.
That is a good thing to remember. And
Second City.
Correct. Yeah. So going back, before I even moved out here to Los Angeles, I had already started taking some different improv classes, went through Bill Kott's improv trick. I knew now that, well, one, that I always, that acting was my passion.
Right.
However, improv was going to be my highway. Now I had dabbled in stand up and I had started to learn a little bit more of sketch. But I really knew that improv And by the way, at this point, I didn't really know what long form improv was. I didn't really
like
understand
the Herald and
all. Yeah, doing Heralds and any other of those longer forms. And so when I moved out here, I was like, all right, well, I want to double down here because comedy was my highway. I always tell people, improv is my highway, and I will get off of the highway to do other things that fall within that same roadway. So I'll get off to do a commercial, or I'll get off to do a film, or shoot a sketch, or whatever. Hosting shows and events, like that same kind of thing. So I moved out here in 09. I went through IO. Then I did the Second City Conservatory that did their musical program. And then the directing program. And then they hired me to start teaching. I started teaching at Second City in 2013. I still teach there. And just before the pandemic, I had done two rounds of the Improv for Veterans program. I was running the veterans program at Second City Hollywood, which, may it rest in peace, unfortunately. You know, obviously the pandemic kind of imploded
it improv. Killed a lot of work. Killed a lot of clubs, a lot of everything, man. It's really sad that was, you know, because I'm diehard Saturday Night Live fan, you know, growing up. So, like, after you find out, like, I think I was maybe a teenager when I read one of the Saturday Night Live books where you find out that Second City was a thing, and then you find out about, like, what the hell was it? National Lampoon. You find out about, National Lampoon and like, all this other stuff.
Harold Ramis.
Just, like, where all this stuff came from. You're like, oh, wow. You find the origin stories for, like, a lot of your favorite comedians. So I had a lot of respect, but I didn't really quite understand exactly what it was. You know what I mean? And it's just like, and it wasn't accessible to me, so I was like, oh, I'll never be able to do that. Same with stand-up. Never thought I'd be in this. Now here we are. But, so that's cool, man. So back to the whole thing of them closing down.
Oh man, it's so it's heartbreaking, to be honest with you, because let me take you back even a few years before the pandemic, about 3.5 years before the pandemic. So my two-man partner, I have a two-man improv team. His name is also Josh Tariff. We have a team called Tackle Box. It's one of the favorite teams that I have that I play with, and I enjoy all the teams, but Josh and I tend to do a lot of festivals and try to, like, really put ourselves out there to do, like, different kind of things to kind of challenge ourselves. And for a long time, we were playing every other Friday at IO West on Hollywood Boulevard. Well, Sharna, the owner of IO at the time, came in, closed down the theater. So then we continued to do more shows over at Second City. And of course, independent nights and people who were hosting evenings and whatever, trying to bounce around. But during the pandemic, Second City said, we are not going to re-up our lease on Hollywood Boulevard for the Second City Hollywood. By the way, this is the perfect opportunity for me to say to the people that are watching and that might be listening to please go to aceunion.com. And that's A-I-C-E union.com. That's the Association of International Comedy Educators, which I'm a part of the organizing committee that helped to organize a union for the teachers at the Second City so that we can unionize to have protection and to do the best job that we possibly can.
Job security is good.
You would imagine that, especially
in this world. Fuck, yeah.
I know. Exactly.
Dude, our day to day is like your paycheck, you know? Sometimes month to month.
That's the gig. Well, sometimes if you book something good. So Second City, they said, hey, we're not going to renew our lease on Hollywood Boulevard, which at the time, I guess I was a little upset because IO had just closed, but it kind of, IO West, that it kind of sucked even more though, but they didn't want to renew their lease because then they have to pay back all the back rent that they didn't pay during COVID. That's my assumption, by the way. I'm not saying but that's my assumption.
That makes sense.
So then we transitioned to continuing to teach online, which there's some benefit to that. So you were saying earlier, Josh, like you wanted to get into, you know, doing stuff, but like, how could you with where you were living?
Yeah.
The benefit now, I mean, to some degree, you can take classes online. So I teach a lot of remote stuff, but at some point I do believe you have to be back in person, in theater, in the classroom, collaborating,
right,
really putting stuff up on its feet together.
Seeing the response and reaction, you know, like I remember doing Zoom, stand up,
and
it just
improv,
didn't feel right. And
yeah,
you know, for those that did, and I'm not dissonant, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's great for people, but for me, I didn't feel fulfilled. And that's the reason why I do the stand-up. I want to help people out, but I also have that fulfillment that I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm doing an honest day's work by doing Zoom. I feel like I'm phoning it in, literally.
So it's just like, you know,
feel like a radio broadcast. Like, yeah. You're just, and I'm like, that's 5 minutes.
I was like, I'm good. I did a couple shows. I got paid for a few of them. Just kidding. I didn't get paid.
Yeah.
So you got a couple shows, and then I'm just like, man, I don't know about doing this anymore. But some people loved it and they had a lot of fun with it. And I appreciate being on some other people's shows. Sure. And it's really cool to like more connect with the comics.
You can connect.
Then, you know, you're connecting with other comics. But at the end of the day, it's just like, it's not the same as being in front of people. So I think any of that stuff, because then you can get the instant reaction. You know, you're like, oh, I need to change this, or my mannerisms are like that. Maybe I should say this faster or slower, or, you know, my body movements. If I did it this way, it's funnier.
It's the same in improv. Yeah. 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 You lose that, that connection with the audience. And it's harder for us to follow threads. You know, you listen to the audience responses to figure out what is funny or maybe how they're feeling. And if you don't have that, I mean, you have an innate built-in thing, I think, as a performer to kind of have a barometer, but it's not as accurate as when you have immediate feedback from the audience.
Oh, yeah. And there's always my favorite painting ever. It's just like this one where it's like, or it's not a painting, it's a meme. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
Internet painting where it's got an entire comedy club killing it. Everybody's like, they're like having the time of their life. And there's one dude.
Oh, no.
And it's like what everybody else sees, and it shows that entire room. What the comic sees, and it's the entire room empty, but just that one dude. Yeah, with that look like.
Yep.
My mom don't even love me. You know, that kind of
right.
Like, so. Right.
Oh, man. Harsh.
The improv, like, did you do that? So I guess my question still is, did you do that before you went in the military? You did the theater, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so all that was before.
Sure, yeah. So here we go. Going down the path of how BJ got in the military and why on earth he waited so fucking long. So,
how old were you when you went in?
Oh, here we go. 35. I enlisted on my 35th birthday,
Josh. Get out.
No, I mean, I will, but I haven't finished the podcast.
Yeah, that's all right. We still got like fucking 4 hours left.
Yeah, that's good.
And then after that, we're going to do our Netflix two-man special.
Love it. Yeah, so I studied in St. Louis, of course. And then when I moved out here, I went through and, you know, was focusing on my acting career and kind of held down less hosting stuff. I kind of like pushed away hosting because I had done it for so long. I felt like I really wanted to do more deeper dramatic acting and things like that. And I kept looking over my shoulder. I kept wishing as I was getting older, you know, when I turned 30, really, I remember going like, should I serve in the military? Like I want to do it. And I knew that I could never go full time. I knew that I would have to go guard or reserve because I already had an established acting career that was really consuming my life. So here I am getting close to 35. And a little backstory, like most vets, I come from a military family. You, my grandfather, World War II, Navy combat vet. He was very inspirational to me. Uncles are Marines. My brother is a Marine. Stepdad's retired Army. So this need of service was important to me. I was also like not only just Boy Scouts, but I did Boy Scouts, Civil Air Patrol. I was in Civil Air Patrol for a long time. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty. I was in Civil Air Patrol and still am an active member in Civil Air Patrol. I love Civil Air Patrol and what it does. So that kind of helped me.
The fucking Civil Air Patrol. Sorry.
Ooh, we got to go and talk about that. Civil Air Patrol, Air Force Auxiliary.
Cliff Notes.
It's the Civilian Volunteer Auxiliary of the Air Force, but it was an opportunity for me to test the waters of what it would be like to be in service and to continue to serve. So I was a law enforcement explorer when I was in high school, part of the Boy Scouts back then. I knew that I wanted to I knew at some point I wanted to serve. I like to help people. I think that's also, comedians and as artists, we want people to feel something. We want to help them in some way, whether that's making them smile or to see life in a different way. You know, you're being of service when you're up there on stage. So, you know, I'm 35 now, or I'm moments away from 35, and I said, I'm going to join the Air Force. I knew the Air Force for sure was where I wanted to go because I did Civil Air Patrol.
Yeah.
And already wore the cool, you know, Air Force uniform. And kind
of like I already got the core frames for it, you know. Exactly. I already got the good shoes.
Exactly. So I shopped around the idea in L.A. of guard units, you know, different reserve units. My goal was to do public affairs. I actually wanted to be a public affairs officer because for 10 years I had been in Civil Air Patrol doing public affairs duty, and I thought this is it. Obviously, as an actor, and to be able to tell stories and do news and media and write, you know, that's perfect for me. However,
I
was old as fuck.
Right. So right. I'm sure you got the whole grandpa treatment. I remember anybody that was like, when I went through boot camp, like if you're 20 fucking anything.
Sure.
Yeah, if you're 20 anything, like yeah, 23 years old, it's like, all right, grandpa, this motherfucker, blah, 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 you know.
They called me in my tech school, what I believe you guys call A school. Like,
yeah, same thing.
So when I went through Fort Sam Houston at METC, the medical education training campus, Navy corpsmen and Air Force medics went to school together. So,
right.
So it was half Air Force. It's no longer that way, unfortunately, but it was half Air Force, half Navy. And so for the first like week until like, you know, it's kind of weird. Like people sit on the other side, you know, you don't really talk at first because you're like, who are these people? And their uniforms are weird. And, you know, so until you know. But I had heard if you remember the old app, Yik Yak, someone had said, hey, Lang, you need to go look on Yik Yak. They're talking about you in the class. And I went, okay, well, first of all, what's Yik Yak? Because I'm fucking 35 years old.
Right.
What the fuck is that? So I get on there and I look, and it's the silverback in the front row is kind of hilarious. You know, like they called me the silverback because I had so much fucking gray hair then. So I enlisted at 35 into the Air Force Reserve. I took a slot as a medic in the hope of getting my foot in the door so that I could put in a package to go to public affairs. Little did I know that, A, I would actually fall in love with being a medic.
Right.
Which really was awesome. And then, two, that, and you'll hear about this, my career, unfortunately, was cut short due to a cancer diagnosis. So,
what a pussy. You got out because of cancer?
Fucking, I know.
I mean, come on. Do your honorable service, sir.
I know.
No, that does suck. We'll get to that in a second, though. But, you know, not trying to diss your cancer or anything.
No.
But, no, that does suck, dude. But, so...
35.
You went from that, and then did you actually... How long did you serve then?
So, I have just shy of 2 years.
Okay.
Total. 1 year of that was... on active orders, to both go do training and then do upgrade training. And then all of my reserve time, you know, which is not considered active, you know, just going to March Air Reserve Base in Riverside. That's where my home unit was. So I had to go there for a few months to like learn what my job was going to fucking be and like, who am I and how do I fit in here? Then I left for basic. Did that the summer of 2015. You feel old now, Josh?
Feel old
yet?
Not yet.
We're probably pretty close to the same age, but it's just weird because I was so much older when I went in. So to answer everyone's fucking question, I was the second oldest in my flight of, I think we were 55 people, something like that. So second oldest, and I was the oldest in the class that I finally graduated from my medic program.
Right.
I was the oldest of the people going in first time. Not including people that were cross-training into new jobs. So graduated basic training in 2015, August of 2015. Went to my medic program. Mind you, I'd already done some months of reserve drilling over at March and Riverside. It kind of understood what my job was going to be. Went to tech school, Fort Sam Houston. And in the middle of all of that is like where my initial cancer stuff came through. But I graduated my medic program and was doing my clinical rotations at San Antonio Military Medical Center, now called Brooke Army Medical Center, which is weird because that's the same place that I went to do my cancer treatment. So it was weird. I got to like work in the clinics.
Right. So it's
cut
just
my nut out
full circle.
Yeah,
then, you know.
Yeah, it was kind of cool, and it's also the pinnacle of Army medicine. So it was really neat to see like these, you know, high speed people and taking patients off the helipad and taking care of them in the ER. I mean, I learned a lot. I really learned a lot as a medic in the Air Force. I wish I could have kept doing it. I was really depressed when I got let go.
Yeah.
From being there, but
I can only imagine. I mean, you got two things going on. You got the meds that just can't make you feel good at all.
Yeah.
And then also like when you got that kind of, your body's already shitty, so you're mentally waking up selling yourself for a piece of shit. I mean, like
that's a lot of it, Josh. That was a lot of it. The mental of like, oh, you're not fighting hard enough. How come, you know? And then the whole why is this happening to me thing.
Right,
I was in the best shape of my life, you know, at 35, 36.
Well, and then also like when it comes to like 30, I've noticed from people coming in older than most is you've already got your partying out of the way. You know what I mean? So you're going to be accelerating in all your classes and everything else. And you're taking it serious because this is your fucking life now. Whereas everybody else is just like, they're treating it like freshman year in college.
Yeah.
You know, like a civilian goes to college and it's like their freshman year where they're, you know, they're drunk, partying, going to gangbangs, having fun, you know, punching Ubers in the face, you know, doing the fun shit, shoplifting and stealing cigarettes. I never did any of those. You know, doing all that stuff.
Sarcasm.
Because we had taxi drivers. We didn't punch Uber drivers. Anyway, so like we had, you know, you have all that other shit going on. And then, but when you're a little bit older going into school, you know, it's just like you already know the priorities in your life are, you know.
Fucking. Yeah. And I already had a full-time acting career out in Hollywood. And I felt like I was spinning plates. Like I'm literally spinning my military plate in a circle. And I'm spinning my my acting career at the same time. You know, it's pretty crazy. Look, Josh is feeding this cat right now. I love that you took a pause to go to. No, that was.
I had to turn off the AC or the thing over there. It's making noise, and I was like, "Wow, Spaz needs treats."
I love that you just like threw a whole handful in there for him. My cat would go nuts, man. He would gain 1,000,000 pounds if he did that. Oh, Spaz is in great shape, by the way.
Yeah,
like that's a good. How old is he?
4.
Yeah, he's in great shape. My cat was a fat cat then.
We're going from cancer shape to my cat's shape. Like, dude, cancer sucks, dude. Your cat is awesome.
I'll put you back in where we were.
Yeah. No. I knew exactly where we were. You're the shiny thing guy this time, which is rare because it's usually me.
Yeah.
All right. As you were, sir. Yeah.
So I was going through my clinical rotations after graduating from my medic program. So now I had to do 6 weeks of clinical rotations and just shy, literally, of one shift before I was supposed to come back. My orders had already been extended because of my cancer diagnosis. So I had surgery to remove my left nut. I was diagnosed with testicular cancer, so it is safe to say.
That suck if it was pancreatic and they took off balling.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like,
typical pancreas, military medicine. You know, fuck it. You know,
typical military medicine.
Athlete's foot, take out a testicle. Fuck them.
What are you going to do?
Put Motrin, walk it off, change your socks. You'll be
not
fine.
Not service connected.
Hey, you didn't wear your fucking your reflective belt long enough. That's why your balls need to come up.
Put that PT belt on. So I had testicular cancer in my left nut. They took that out. Then I had to do chemotherapy. And so now here I am doing my clinical rotations and literally a shift before I was done to then fly home the next week to back to my reserve unit because everything was fine. Like
right.
My cancer was fine. They said, hey, listen, you're going through a med board because you had cancer. And I was like, my doctor's saying I'm fine. Like I was fine. Yeah. I was in the best shape of my life. But I guess for whatever reason, so that kind of set me off down this path of like uncertainty and like I was not a happy camper. I was very very sad because one, I couldn't do my job. I couldn't go work at the clinic, which like I fell in love with. I loved working at the hospital or working ambulance service or wherever they sent me. I loved it. So one, I can't do that. And two, and I already have a full-time career in Hollywood, which I call my agents and managers. Hey, you guys got to put me on hold. I'm gone for the military. I was only supposed to be gone, Josh, for 98 days.
Right.
I was gone for almost a year. So you can imagine how that kind of, you know, messes with your life. And so I was already supposed to come home. And then they said, you got to be put through this board. It could take up to 6 weeks. So we're going to extend your orders. And you're just going to, you got to put on your uniform. You got to come to formation or you have to go to, you know, PT or whatever, but you can't go to work. So you just got to sit around the base.
That's lame, dude.
It was hard. I felt like a second class citizen during that time. Luckily my med board went a little faster than expected. And, you know, against my wishes, they put me on temporary medical retirement because the hope was that I would return to duty following, you know, the year when they reevaluate me. And so in July of 2016, they put me on temporary medical retirement. And then I was on that for a year. And the following summer, in July of 2017, when I was in the Air Force Wounded Warrior Program, not to be confused with the Wounded Warrior Project, this is the DOD program for wounded, ill, and injured Space Force guardians and airmen. Oh, every okay. branch has one. They do the adaptive sports and all that stuff. I was going down that track, and in 2017, my cancer came back. So it relapsed in my lymphatic system. I got really sick. My doctor, the VA, said, you need to focus on treatments. So I did radiation therapy to my lower abdomen. And I actually got more sick doing radiation therapy than I did doing chemotherapy because of where they were targeting me. It was like by my stomach. So I'm puking all the time.
Oh, I bet. Yeah,
it was like, it sucked. There was nothing you could do. I was taking Zofran like crazy. And then I've been in remission now for just over 5 years. The 5 years is the good mark, they say. You're considered cancer-free at that point or whatever, but that fear is always there and the uncertainty, and we don't know the long-term effects of the radiation. So when I got out, obviously, I returned back to my civilian career. I was teaching back at Second City. I had returned back to my part-time job that I had at that point for 11 and a half years as my little side hustle, and back into the Hollywood hustle, minus my relapse, because that took some time away there for a while. And then, you know, progress to where I am now. Obviously, I had to get connected to the VA, and like I had to learn this whole thing with TRICARE. Like,
yeah, VA is it was nuts. TRICARE, it's just kind of like, what do I do now? And what I think they don't do well enough is, and everybody hears me say it because I say it all the time, is that I don't think they do it well enough to say, hey, this is how you can get your benefits. Like when you get out, it's like drinking from the water hose, all the other shit. It's just like,
Do taps?
What's that?
Did you do taps?
Taps, and it's called two things. Taps or GPS, depending on where you go. And here's the kicker. I went through it on Camp Hansen.
Uh-huh.
Camp Foster. Camp Foster in Okinawa. So I went through the Marine Corps version.
Got it.
So, like, when I separated. So it was, like, a whole nother world. Kind of like, you know, I didn't go through, like, the United States, the Navy's version. I went through the Marine Corps version. So half that shit was like, this doesn't apply to me.
Right.
And then, because believe it or not, it was like a lot different. I mean, Marine Corps is a part of the Navy, but it's, you know, it's to them, it's a whole nother world, because it is really. But anyways, I got back to the States, did another one. I'm like, dude, this is just still, you know, right before I separated fully. Anyways, they don't teach you enough. So when you did go through that, did you have to get a veteran service officer or?
Great question. So when I first got put through the med board, my PEBLO at the time, physical evaluation board liaison officer, said, hey, you have to go at least, like, if you're going to put in for VA stuff, you can try to do this concurrently. Like, you're going to go through the med board and you're going to go do VA stuff. So that way, like, hopefully, and I guess this was a benefit, because apparently talking to older vets who have gone through medical retirement or medical separation, that used to not be that way. So.
No, this is a major, like, good thing that's happened fairly recently, because, basically doing them both at the same time, just in case.
Yeah, right. And that way, it's all going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
There's no gap. So I started there, but here it is, and I'm just going to be very honest. I had always hoped to return to duty.
Right.
I loved being a medic in the reserve. It was an awesome part-time gig. My goal was to do air medical evacuation. That's like what my billet was and where I was heading. This was against, you know, my wishes to have gotten cancer. I didn't know this was going to happen. So how can I switch this stuff around? So I said, all right, I'm going to put in the basic whatever. And then, because I didn't want to like end up getting 100% or something like that. And then they go, you ain't getting back in the fucking reserve.
Yeah, I see a lot of people that want to go back in after they're like 100% out.
Yeah.
And they're like RE3.
Not that doesn't happen, by the way, because it does.
It does, but it's a motherfucker, you know.
So I got, I went through the med board thing. And then when I came back to LA, I had talked to a couple of people. My PEBLO had already helped me do, and I did it myself. Highly suggest not doing it yourself. I'm looking at the camera. I know we're podcasting, but I'm looking at your live.
Oh, please do.
Hello. When you first do your initial claim, I suggest, as a person who worked in medical and has learned a lot now through this, to not do it yourself.
Right.
Have somebody help you do it that understands. But I was thinking in my head, I know enough medical stuff now because I was a medic for a short time. So I can at least do the basics, but I didn't want to like list everything because I wanted to get back in. So when I first got out, being very honest, I only had 10%, which was like neuropathy and something else that I had like listed on there. And then when I came back to LA, when I finally got out and I was on temporary retirement, TDRL status, which back then it was the old 5-year plan. You could be on temporary retirement. So follow me here, Josh. I could have been on, or you, let's just say you were in my shoes. You can be on temporary retirement for up to 5 years. Okay. So that means for 5 years, you don't know if they're going to take your blue card away. You don't know if you're going to get TRICARE for the rest of your life. You don't know if you're going to get back in. You don't know if they're going to separate you severance.
Right.
That's where I sat for 3.5 years. And then during the pandemic, they finally permanently medically retired me, which was truly, I mean, as far as for myself, it was the best thing for my situation. Obviously, I wish I could return. But given that my cancer relapsed and I had a bunch of nerve damage and stuff, I mean, I just, my body was nowhere near what it was. So I should probably do the
thing. That's got to be, that's crushing because I think everybody goes in, they don't know what they really want because they haven't been there yet.
Yeah.
They have an idea, unless like you have family and you grew up directly there. Like, you know, I think half military brats are like, oh, yeah, I see what my dad goes through or mom goes through every fucking day.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my mom's a kick-ass Master Chief. Of course I want to kind of not go through the bullshit she's going through, sure. Or I'd love to do that, whatever. But yeah, man. So like when you show up, you don't realize that this is, it's not just that. It's like, it's a combination of trauma bonding and also like real life bonding because you make some of the best friends for the rest of your life. Like know, I talk to so many people I've served with. Like if I didn't contact anybody in 2 months, if I just shut everything down,
yeah,
the first people to call me, Brian Holtzman, stand-up comic, uh-huh. And every fucking person I've probably been in a bad situation with, because I did not post something stupid, and Joshua Bryan is my homeboy. Like, are you good, dude? Are you okay? Like, because anytime I get blocked and kicked off Facebook for like a month, people are genuinely curious about my health.
That's your barometer. That's your social barometer.
That's like people like, are you good? Are you okay? You know, so like if I just, I know people... The first people reach out if they haven't heard from me for a while, I guess is what I'm saying, are mostly people you served with or stand-up comics that you've trauma bonded with, you know.
Legit.
Or trauma bombed with.
That is legit.
Trauma bombed. Not bonded.
That too. That's what happens when you do comedy and...
shout out to Travis Carl. We trauma bombed together a lot.
That's what happens when you do comedy and nothing happens.
Oh,
that's
dude, it makes it so much fun sometimes, though, too. You're just like, well, fuck it. I know it wasn't me. He's funny. I'm funny. These people suck. If I'm killing it and he's sucking, he had a bad night, vice versa. Because those happen.
Yeah.
You're just like, wow, man. Jeez, what happened? 9/11 happened in your fucking front yard today? Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So to answer your question, Josh.
Seven.
Seven is my favorite number.
Yeah.
I did not at first use a VSO, but then when I came home to LA in July of 2016, I met some people and
Bob Hope Building.
Nope, did not use the county at that point. I did go down there. I know Stephanie Stone, who's one of the commissioners for LA County Department of Military Veterans. Great, awesome Navy vet, awesome lady, helped so many people. I got turned on to a VSO from a friend of a friend, and I'm going to be completely honest. She has changed my life.
Fuck yeah, man.
She was the person who, instead of just said, well, how about this? Or and just instead of asking questions, she got access to my stuff, which they should all do, got access to my stuff and said, BJ, well, not only your cancer, but I see that you went to sick call for this, or you went to clinic for this, or you complained about this. So she was able to connect the dots, which was very helpful.
So that's a really good thing that they have access to now. It's not like it used to be as well as like we're talking about doing concurrent things as you're separating.
Yeah.
Now they have windows that they can look into where you're from, what you did and all that other stuff like throughout your entire military career. Whereas they didn't have that. You'd have to mail this and then mail that. And you have the service record through the mail waiting to get to somebody else and you're waiting for copies or a microfiche. Which is basically...
The film? The microfilm thing? Yeah.
Which is basically doesn't even exist anymore. People are like, what the hell is that? You guys are mailing Swedish fish to each other? So like, but yeah, so it's insane because that happens. And that's actually one of the reasons why it's hurting people coming into the Navy and military is because this Genesis program. The Genesis program actually looks at people's medical records, like all your civilian shit. So you go to MEPS, Military Entrance Processing Station. So you're going to MEPS to get into the military.
Yeah, right.
They pull up Genesis and it's like, I did not know that. You have asthma when you were 10 years old from your pediatrician from blah, blah, blah. Sure. And it's like, holy shit. Mm. And they're like, but you know, and so stuff that once upon a time, I'm not saying any recruiters, whatever, say maybe we shouldn't send this in right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying anybody ever said that, but you know, once upon a time, it was kind of like that. Like, oh, dude, it's not a big fucking deal. A lot of kids, because have bronchitis, especially where I'm from, Midwest, they have allergies and bronchitis. And you're St. Louis, same shit as fucking Ohio, Missouri, same thing.
Yep.
And it's just like you got bronchitis or it's not asthma. It's just, you know, you have reactive airway disorder that from some pollen in the fucking air.
Seasonal allergies.
Or, you know, the factory tire plant that's two blocks from your house. You know, that's making you wheeze. Now you're, you know, oh, he's got asthma. Because that was just a stamp from, you know, everything was just asthma and treat him, you know. But,
I didn't hear about that Genesis.
So yeah, I just found that out. Like, there's a Navy recruiter. I follow her on Instagram. I'm retired, I'm a retired CB. But 3 years of my career was a recruiter.
You were a recruiter, yeah, I remember.
You know, and then she's a builder. So just like, she's got some pretty cool shit. She posts these awesome, like, some are pretty funny sketches, and then some are legit. I'll send it to you, but yeah, I think it's like Ask the BU1. Or something like that on Instagram. I'll have to double check later, but my phone's being used for the recording thing, or I'd pull it up now. But anyways, long story longer is just the being able to have that ability to look at your service record is amazing now.
Sure.
Because that's one of the things too, where having a VSO and being able to sit down with them, and I know I'm beating this horse to death from people that listen to the show, because I say VSO all the time, but there's no way to not talk good about these guys and gals, because they see everything that's happened to you, and then they're like, oh, you know, what about this? What about, like, you had happen with yourself, and a lot of people don't realize that you might have had a bad VSO. That's just, VSOs are awesome. Just had a bad experience with one,
you have to shop around. It's like finding the right unit in the Garden Reserve. Yeah. You have to find the right unit that you mesh with.
I've been in 5 battalions. Most people only do like 1 or 2. I was in 5.
Yeah.
You know, and I will say one of them, I won't say mention numbers, fucking sucked. Right. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. And it's just like that anywhere else. You got to have the right people. But
that's right.
You know.
So find a good VSO. Now, I guess my question for you is, and what
7.
Okay, good. That's exactly what I was wondering. How many should you go talk to at one time? What do you normally tell someone? If they say they're looking for a VSO, what do you advocate for
that? So
what do you look for?
My auto predict in my phone actually has this because I say it so much. Yeah. I'm a member of like 30 fucking VFW, not VFWs, but like Veterans Helping Legion. Veteran programs. And then Post 43, which we're a member of, you know, and I think 2806 VFW and Chatsworth, wherever the fuck that one is, Canoga Park, wherever Marty Engling talked me into joining. But like, I'm in all these groups and all that other stuff, and I literally say this: Google open parentheses your county, close parentheses veteran service officer, and set an appointment ASAP. Just Google your county, whatever county you're in, veteran service officer, and set an appointment ASAP. Yeah. That's if you're separating, on your way out, if you've been out for a while, it doesn't matter. Like, a lot of times, too, people's shit's fucked up, and it's been messed up for a very, very, very long time.
And laws
change. They get frustrated, and they're like, ugh, that's what they want you to do. They want you to get upset. They want, you know, and it's just like, the VA is very weird and very complex. It's like, it's a lot like government. And I'm not trying to say Democrat, Republican, left, right, whatever.
Yeah, it's just government bureaucracy.
If you're on one side, the other side of the house is kind of working against you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. Whatever side you're on, the other side's working against you. You know, and then you have judicial where they're just like, fuck both y'all. You know what I mean? Right. So, like, you know, but if you're on one side and the other side's working against you, and that's kind of how the VA feels, because there are some amazing doctors that are out there, and some are just there for the, you know, paycheck. But you also have the people that are trying to say that you do not deserve these benefits.
Right.
And that's where it really kind of sucks. Now, unfortunately, we're losing the best generation. World War II vets are almost all passed away. God bless them. Thanks, because that's my inspiration. Yours as well, I'm sure. Yeah, but
100%.
But that opens up all these other things. You know what I mean? That's like all the other programs. Like the abundance of funding that is still allocated to the VA is now going to us. Yeah. Because that's, all, you know, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, you know, that fought in that war that are right. still alive right. where it was like probably millions, yep. you know, so.
That's a good point. Getting those benefits and finding the right VSO is important. And I would say find someone that responds to you well. That being said, in my VSO, when I refer people to her and her husband, one, they're both vets,
yeah.
which I appreciate because they kind of understand some of the stuff we talk about. Number two, they both worked for, and it's important to find out who else did this VSO work for? Did they work anywhere else? What's their experience? Because somebody that's new maybe went through a free training, such as a certain veteran service.
Yeah,
it was a big difference. I won't say who, but like there's groups out there who have free training, and yeah, you can learn some stuff, but like you need someone that's really been around or that you're willing to work with, and it might take a little bit longer to get whatever you're trying to achieve. So my VSO is not only great because they're vets, but because they worked for DAV for like 10 years doing this before they set up their own firm. And she and her husband, and they do just truly amazing work. The catch is they're helping so many people, it can take a little bit of time to get back.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is a VSO is free. So it's like, you true. Know. And then that's another thing, too, is if you're getting impatient.
You could find a place that you could pay. You could find an attorney.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
they're going to take a percentage of your pay. But I'm saying if you're getting impatient, just realize that, like you're saying, there's a lot of shit they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, so I have one to send people to, and they're like, he hasn't emailed me back. I was like, he hasn't heard anything back yet. So
right.
there's that. So
give them time. I mean, obviously from the time you put a claim in, you know, that's where you're going to get back pay up to, you know, or from what your intent to claim.
From when you started.
But, yeah.
So speaking of which, man, so you got back to 100%?
So I finally got to 100. Now, keep in mind, when my cancer came back in 2017, you know, for that preceding year, I was only at like 10%.
Yeah.
You know, because I only had 10%. But I had 100 when my cancer came back. Because my now VSO
right.
put me in for temporary 100 while I was sick. So anyone that has active cancer, you get temporary 100%, which was unbelievably helpful for me.
Yeah.
And then we had to go back and like fix all the other stuff so that I got permanent, and then I eventually got permanent and total. That didn't happen until 2020, right around the pandemic. And then in the middle of the pandemic at the same time, the Air Force came back down, and this was my third reevaluation to see if I could either return to duty or separate with severance, or you know what was going to happen. They, I actually had to fight for this, and you can go on my Facebook, and there is a video. And I'm just going to be completely honest. I was a big baby, and I cried like a baby because we set up a formal board to go fight the formal board. I had my legal, you know, the JAG was with me. She was ready to go. She read all my stuff. I helped her get all the paperwork from my doctors. And she basically told me, she was like, if they try and balk you around, we need to go in and fight.
Right.
Because they're going to try to separate you with severance or whatever, which is not what I wanted. Because if I can't return, well, then to hell with giving me I didn't just want the money. I want to go and do my job. And if I can't do right. my job, well, then retire me then permanently retire me.
Fuck yeah.
So we went in, and she submitted the paperwork. And 5 minutes before we were supposed to go to my actual formal hearing in front of the medical board with my JAG by my side that I've been on temporary medical retirement with for 3.5 years upon a relapse, submitted my paperwork. And then the first thing was all the nerve damage. So the VA findings with all my nerve damage from all the chemo and radiation. And they immediately gave me 40% off the go. So
gotcha.
That was, and I just lost it. She called me and she goes, are you ready to go? And I said, yeah, I'm thinking like, here we go. We're going to go. Here's the Zoom link. We're getting ready to go to, you know, court right now. And she goes, you're done. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, they retired you. I lost it. It was very emotional. For many reasons, because I
can
just,
only imagine.
I was like,
you know,
that was like the end of an era.
You go back. Yeah.
Dude, right. End of an era.
No, yeah. So. End of an era.
That never happened.
That was how I call my career, the end of an era.
So they finally permanently medically retired me, and then I got 100% permanent total. It's great. I mean, I'm very thankful, and I wish I could still be a medic. I continue, by the way, so in the civilian world, I didn't really want to work as I'm also the equivalent of an LVN. Like, I can go and take the board to do vocational nurse stuff. That's what we get as Air Force medics. I had the opportunity to teach at UCLA. So I work part-time as a clinical instructor for the David Geffen School of Medicine because I learned all this cool stuff in the Air Force. Yeah. And I didn't want to lose this military medical education. So it's a way for me to keep my chops up. I work just a few days a month. But I think my favorite thing about it is the students there love to hear all the medical military stories.
Okay, you know, gotcha.
They like want to hear all that stuff and whatever. And many of them are young and they want to like maybe go into service. I'm like, yeah, man, you should totally do that. Or if you want to go into nursing, like I worked with a lot of nurses and the nurse corps. So, yeah.
I got a buddy, Jeff Carasalis. He's a comic, but Marine Corps vet. Mm-hmm. And he's got his own handyman company. Once in a while, he'll be like, hey, man, can you help me weld this or fucking whatever?
Is that what he did in the military? Was
it? No, he was a mechanic.
Oh, okay.
And he was a mechanic in the military. And every once in a while, I'll help him either weld or I'll give him pointers. And honestly, I don't want to do any of that shit ever again. I really can't. A lot of it. Like, I can fucking weld, but I don't have the patience anymore. Like, I'm probably one of the best welders you ever knew, but, and I'm not trying to say arrogant. I've just been doing it since I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
And I kept I kept proficient. I welded every day in Iraq and places like that, you know, so it was just like.
He wants you to help because you have that experience.
Well, that, and it's just like, he needs laborer. He needs somebody to help, you know, do that. Sometimes I'll just hand him shit. Like, here you go.
That's fine, but this is an opportunity to help somebody learn.
But it's like to have to keep those chops up because you still want to help out and still in that field. But I'm like, I'm not looking for a construction job, and I don't have the patience for people anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so, he was in Generation Kill. He was like one of the dudes. Oh. He was in the actual legit story, the real thing, and somebody else played him, right? And somebody else played Lance Corporal Carasalis. Or whatever it is, PFC or fucking corp, whatever.
Yeah.
And somebody else on the show lost their visa or couldn't work in Africa or wherever the hell they were working and got sent home. So Jeff played like Lance Corporal Smith, somebody else. He ended up coming in to play another person. I remember I like to fall asleep to that kind of shit because it helps me get to sleep as war movies for some reason and feel comfortable. And, you know, so I just heard Jeff talking and I'm like, what the fuck? And I look over at the TV and I was like, I didn't realize he was actually in the show. Like, this has been one of my favorite shows for so long. And way before I even knew who Jeff was or Rudy Reyes, you know, way before I knew these cats. And now I'm like, my friend is fucking in this. Holy shit. I just heard him like,
that is awesome. You heard his voice.
Yeah. Dude, Jeff Carasalis. So like here in Hollywood, you're fucking got all that shit, all that rage. You lost the job, unfortunately. And then what else did you do? Like right after, you got separated then like permanently. I
mean, well, at that point, I was teaching at Second City and I was back into the improv world, you know, doing shows, and I was ramped back up with my agents and managers and submitting for acting jobs and,
fuck yeah,
you know, trying to follow through with the proud union actor life. I ended up becoming the comedy coach for Air Force Wounded Warrior program.
Oh, cool. What's that? What's that mean?
So Air Force Wounded Warrior is the program that I had mentioned earlier that I got enrolled in when I got sick. Every branch of the military has a Wounded Warrior element or battalion, like Marines Wounded Warrior Battalion, Army Wounded Warrior, Navy is called Navy Wounded Warrior. And that's all of the wounded, ill, and injured service members. And then there's a caregiver component. Most of the people are familiar with like DoD Warrior Games, which is actually coming up here pretty soon. Where all the service members can, not all, but the ones that are selected for that branch of service team, go to do adaptive sports. And then the next follow-up to that is if you do well at Warrior Games for your branch, the U.S. can select you to go to the Invictus Games. What is it? Prince Harry? So, like, that's his thing with all the allied countries, all the adaptive sports doing that. So I was on that track, But if those people that know me, I'm a theater kid. I'm an actor. Sports is not my thing. So when I went to these adaptive sports camps, I found out that they had resiliency training options. And one of those was a mutual friend of ours, Will C., who was teaching stand-up comedy as part of the Veterans of Comedy. And they came in and they would do stand-up. They also had like painting and all the, so like all these art things, that's more my jam. So I was doing that. And then in 2018, when I was still doing the adaptive sports, the then doctor that ran the resiliency program, the sports psychologist, says, BJ, I see you teach at Second City. I said, yes, sir. And he goes, would you like to teach here in the program? So that would obviously take me out of like being an athlete in the program, which was, to be honest, kind of fine for me because that's not my thing.
Right.
And it's, I could serve better by teaching what I love to my brothers and sisters that I love in a program that has meant a lot to me, Air Force Wounded Warrior. You can go to woundedwarrior.af.mil to find out about that. Check out dodwarriorgames.com, which is coming up at the end of or the beginning of June.
Oh, cool.
Going to be in,
well, that's just right around the corner.
San Diego, yeah. I'll be the social media correspondent for Team Air Force down there. But check it out. This year it's called Warrior Games Challenge. It's a light version of what they normally have every other year. Now they're going to flip-flop it every year in between Invictus. So this one's called Warrior Games Challenge. But it's still the same concept, military adaptive sports. I came in, I started teaching improv there. So not only for not only for the service members, but for the caregivers as well that come. So every day I teach applied improv comedy, the things that I and you love, connecting with people,
using
the art to help people heal, listening, problem solving, thinking outside the box, getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. That's my heart and soul. And that's what I have started doing. So I started doing that in 2018, and that continued through since my permanent medical retirement. I'm still teaching super part-time at Second City and UCLA for the Center for Pre-Hospital Care. If anyone's interested in becoming an EMT or a paramedic, great programs. Yeah, and then just following through the actor hustle. I'm on the organizing committee for our union at Second City. We're still fighting to get a contract. We're out there right now with the Writers Guild of America, you know, hitting the picket line. So I'm a union actor with SAG-AFTRA. I'm an equity actor for stage actors. I'm a Communication Workers of America, guy, and I'm an IOTSE Local 80 Set Medic permittee.
Ham radio owner.
I'm a ham radio owner. it's funny that you mentioned that, Josh, and I love that you remembered that. It took me 30 years to do that, man, because this was one of those things where I was like, I've always wanted to do it. Why am I fucking waiting so goddamn long?
Yeah.
But as you can hear from the rest of my story, sometimes it takes me a little while until I do it.
Yeah, just like 35 in the military. Yeah. But whatever. You also got that t-shirt on. It says VME. What does that mean?
That's true. I also have a cat hair on it. I'm wearing my VME shirt myself.
Are you trying to blame Spaz for that, or is that from your house?
This one's my cat, which is probably why Spaz might be friends with me.
Oh, okay. He's just like, we got smell another cat. Here.
What's up? Yeah. He knows. VME, Veterans in Media and Entertainment. We are the largest group of veterans in front of and behind the camera. I do community outreach for VME. You can go to vmeconnect.org is our public-facing page, and then once you're a member, vme-connect.com will take you to our internal platform. But directors, writers, producers, actors, folks that work in the entertainment space, we have mentorships. We do tons of workshops. I've taught free improv classes. We have career coaching going on. And I'm talking high-level people. I'm not talking about people that are just now getting out. But if you are just getting out, or if you're currently in and you want to kind of get connected, VME is a great outlet for folks that want to work in the entertainment space. Not just the talent, not just producers and directors, but let's just say you're an IT professional in the military and you say, well, I'd like to work IT for Fox or Comcast Universal or Warner Brothers. We have the connections there. So it's not just the talent side. If you work in the entertainment space and you're a vet, you're probably a member of VME.
Hell yeah, man. I joined when it was called something else. I don't know.
VFT, Veterans in Film and Television.
I didn't even know. I went to, had another initial person.
Yeah.
BJ. I had AJ Bravo.
AJ Bravo.
One of my MVP podcasts at the Comedy Store. Yeah. He gave me a cool, awesome Detroit Red Wings hat and shit. And then we did the podcast at the store. You brought me a tamale, dog.
That's good. I did bring you a tamale.
So yeah, yes. You brought me a tamale, man. That. Shit. So like, we did that. And we went to a meeting, and I didn't, you know, for
VFT,
yeah.
And at Post 43.
No, is what it's called now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it was at Post 43, and like towards the end of it, it was like, oh, this sounds like a cool organization. I'd really like to join. And come to find out, I've been in this organization since like fairly new. I just saw it online. I was like, oh, this sounds cool. I'll join this. I'm a comedian. Yeah. And I plan on, you know, like you were talking about, like, this is my thing, but I'll do other shit. You know what I mean? Like, that was the same thing. Like, I'm a stand-up comic, but I'll branch off. I'll do radio, yeah, exactly. TV, whatever. The more and more I'm finding, the more and more it's like, I don't really care to be an actor, but honestly, I care to further what I do for stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
So I'll give acting 110% just because I know that you need that now. Yeah. For, because let's put it this way, let's be real. Doug Stanhope, one of my favorite comedians.
Yeah.
And not a whole lot of people know who he is.
Yeah, I know
who he is. But Screech from Saved by the Bell.
Dustin Diamond.
You know, not really the best of stand-up comics. No offense, but, you know, this isn't somebody that just, you know, grinded through the trenches and stuff like that, you know, and just, or maybe he might be funny. But the thing is the reason why he's going to sell out clubs all the time.
Because of that.
Saved by the Bell.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, or Pauly Shore. Pauly Shore's a funny comic. He's a, Pauly's Pauly, you know, fucking, yeah, bro. Dude, he's just, you know, his mom owned the store. But the thing is he, you know, he busts his ass in comedy, but the MTV is what really what drives him. Even though he's been, you know, a working comic, and comedy has been his entire life. His mom owns the best club in the fucking world. Right. Rest in peace, Mitzi.
Yeah.
But more people know him from MTV than actually being stand-up comic. But he's legit been stand-up comedy his entire fucking life.
Yeah.
You know,
that is interesting. I mean, look at Full House.
Oh, yeah. Rest in peace. I know.
It's going to get Bob Saget.
Bob Saget. Rest in peace. But
also got a TBI.
He was like a super fucking dirty stand up comic, and he's playing a nice dad. He was a nice dude. I remember working with him at KLOS a couple times.
Really?
You know, and I'd run into him every once in a while, just randomly. Like, that's one thing I love about this thing.
Town,
The stand up comedy shit. Like, you'd just be at a club and you're running into somebody like, or just walking down the street, I ran into fucking Godfrey, not Gilbert, but Godfrey. and I know where that was going, but no, yeah. I ran into Godfrey just walking down the street in New York. And it's just like, holy shit, what's going on, dude?
Right.
And we have a 20-minute conversation about Virginia Beach or some shit. You know, just really weird stuff, you know, like that. And that's what I love about what we do.
I did come across today on my from where I just came from before I came over to your house. I was driving and I saw a historic vehicle plate on a car, and I went, that's a sweet looking car, man. Old, you know, old, like, kind of cruiser car.
Jay?
It was 100% Jay Leno. And I wanted to say something, but I got next to him and I was like, he's just enjoying himself, just cruising. I was like, that's cool, man. So Jay Leno, if you're listening, I did get a video of you driving your car.
Oh yeah, he's my number one subscriber. He's gonna buy some of these buttons that I'm selling. Like, by the way, I got these beep stickers.
Yeah.
Jay Leno is definitely gonna be buying these. I bought pins now.
Those look good, by the way. I love the
3-inch stickers. I got the 2-inch stickers.
You need to give away your coffee mug seasoned like it is.
Oh yeah, this is my new favorite coffee cup right now, because it's Clutch, my favorite band, and it's got a fucking the pedal.
Yeah,
it's got
the pedal, I see,
and
that.
The inside looks like, you know, how it should.
That's hilarious. Happy haircut, by the way, Josh.
I only got it it's only like 3 months old, too.
Yeah. Your haircut? Happy haircut.
Oh, okay. What do you mean?
It looks nice. Oh, well, last time I saw you, you had a lot of hair on your head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did just got it
the cut. The summer thing?
Yeah, and well, that, and it's just, instead of doing it every 2 weeks, I like kind of let it go, and I'm like, I should go do it, and I just did it. I forget why. I think it was... I think I got it. I don't know. I forget what I did it for.
What does it bother you? And this is a great question to the vets that watch. Please comment in the here if you watch this later. I am truly interested to find this out. Do you find yourself going, fuck, I can feel my hair on my, you know, or on your neck when it starts getting long? I have to cut it like every 2 weeks.
Ears,
it drives me nuts.
My ears sometimes. Yeah. You, a lot of times, like my ears and stuff, or I'll just not feel it bare on the back of my head. I'm like, I gotta go get a haircut. You know, and then it's like I tried to, like when I retired, I did a beard, and that was good enough for once. And then I grew my top out, but I still shaved, like, had the sides nice, and I just slicked it all back. And I did that for a while, and I'm like, nah, I just go back to how I was before, and that's where I'm at now. It's just like, this is comfortable for me.
It is, yeah.
This is what I like the best, you know?
But it's important to keep it for your style and brand.
Well, that's kind of like where part of it kind of is, but I don't know. I'll just kind of go with whatever. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I haven't never dyed it blue. I might do that someday. I don't know. But I'm like, then I'll look like one of these old-time punk rockers. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with looking like an old-time punk rocker.
Who do you people know? Tell you look like?
Now? Not so much now because I'm fat, but it used to be Matt Damon when I was skinnier.
I could see that. I saw the picture of you at ceremony the other day.
When I was young, I looked like, you know, people would say I look like Matt Damon. I did get confused with,
Wesley Caparillo. Snipes.
Oh. Yeah, Caparillo. John Caparillo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, damn, I need to lose a lot of fucking weight. Because, you know, he was a heavy set stand-up comic. A good guy. But
you and then, me both, man.
Oh, there's and I wasn't too upset. I forget who it was, but... there was somebody who's like, oh man, you had a great set. And I'm like, and I was at the Comedy Store, like, oh dude, you had a great set earlier. I haven't gone up. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. And I'm like, you know, if I do get up, it's going to be like later on this fucking other show, not in the main room.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was like, oh, fucking A. And I found out who they were talking about. I was like, oh, that's fucking cool. You know, some Boston comic. I can't think of his name. God damn it. He's funny too. Anyway. That's irrelevant.
here's who you remind me of, okay. Josh. When I see you sitting here right now, I'm afraid to say it.
No, say it.
You remind me of Buzz from Home Alone.
Okay. I will. Oh, because of the haircut?
The older brother?
Haircut,
yeah.
And I'm fat?
No. It's not.
I'm fucking it's chubby. Not
that, but he had red. He had, you know, his cheeks were red.
Yeah. That's a good Buzz coffee. Oh, that's cool. I'll take it.
What's he still doing? A kid at What's heart? He doing now? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man. Way to make it awkward, man. No, I'm just fucking
Way
with
to
you.
Make it real no, awkward.
That's cool. Dude, time goes quick, man.
Time definitely goes quick.
The movie seems like came out yesterday, and it's just like, wait, what?
What you got?
Dude.
Good.
So anyway, what was I saying? Whatever the fuck were we talking about before we went down this weird rabbit hole?
Last down the rabbit hole was basically in 2020, I got finally put on permanent retirement.
Permanent retirement.
Yeah.
And then you got a cool Jeep.
That was my medical retirement.
Medical retirement itself, which is awesome. And then...
Josh, I have to tell you that I had the shittiest actor car of all times. I mean, like, when you think about being a hustling artist out in LA, and that's what I had for fucking
everybody else is like, that's debatable.
That's right. Have you ever seen the guy that drives around, Steve Woodruff? Have you ever seen him?
No.
Oh man. Now you're going to see it when you see him. He's some guy and he has his name all over his car. Anyway, it's a whole story. But, I had this car and I would just be like, please fucking start when I put the key in. You know, so when I got permanently medically retired,
right.
Which, by the way, that did not mean I got a ton of money or anything like that. So I had to find, I finally was in a place though where I could have a car payment. And I was like, I need to do this for myself. It's going to help my mental health to know that when I fucking put the key in, it's going to start and I can make the auditions and whatever. So I bought my Jeep and I love it. I absolutely love driving it. I love Jerry the Jeep. But I don't like putting the gas in it because it is expensive. Like it's like $100 every few days in there.
The actor car thing is funny because like a buddy of mine, Jody, he was the Comedy Store. He was a manager at the Comedy Store.
Mm-hmm.
And then like everybody else, Joe Rogan poached. He's one of the managers over at the Comedy Mothership.
Oh, okay.
In his car, in his back seat had a rack where all his shirts were hung that other stuff, and you drive around stuff. And then he was like, hey, they were asking him, hey, somebody asked him for some change, and then they saw the inside of his car. He's like, nah man, I'm good. You know, I was like, that poor car thing, that reminded me of Jody's like story. I always thought that was hilarious, man. So do you got anything coming up? Anything?
Yeah.
What's your socials?
Well, my socials, if you want to connect.
Here, Spaz, you talk to him for a second. Yeah,
tell me, Spaz. Hit me up. BJLang.com will take you to my link tree so that you can see all of the different things that I have going on, all of my social medias. @BJComedy is my main social handle. I'll be hosting the Los Angeles Fleet Week coming up here in a few weeks down in San Pedro at the Battleship Iowa. So very excited for that.
You were telling me about that a while ago too.
Because I didn't know what they were gonna like. I know they're booking some you know different acts that are gonna be up there. I'm not sure how all that works out. But see, this is how small the world is and why you always treat everyone well. My friend Matt is producing Fleet Week, and he was our tour manager when I hosted MTV's Game Riot. So
dude,
how about that?
Is
years
awesome.
Ago. And he goes, "Hey man, I'm in LA and I'm doing this. Do you want to absolutely please do hook me up?" I will be at the Department of Defense Warrior Games. You can follow Air Force Wounded Warrior. If you would like to support all of those wounded, ill, and injured airmen and Space Force Guardians and follow their journey, hopefully to getting some gold medals. But you can also go to DODWarriorGames.com if you want to follow the main feed. For those of you watching at home on the Facebook Live right now, post some questions in there, and we'll do those here.
Yeah,
real quick
let's
too.
Knock out some of this Q&A's, man. So, if you could go back while I'm doing this, if you could go back and tell yourself,
see, by the way,
what's that?
I can see our feed here too.
There you go. If you can go back and tell yourself anything, what would you tell yourself, younger you?
To believe more in yourself.
Solid.
It's not that I don't believe in myself, but like any artist, there's always that imposter syndrome, you know, and that's a constant.
Dude, that's a big one that a lot of people don't understand, that when you're doing this, like no matter what, you're always going to feel like you don't belong.
Of course.
And it's like, and I think a lot of things too, is I identified a lot of that as I was in the military.
Yeah.
Like when you're in charge of shit, finally.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that when you're starting to get booked good shit. You're like, I don't belong here. Like,
yeah.
What's going on?
It can feel weird, yeah.
I think I was listening to a Mark Maron podcast. So this would have been 2009 because I transferred from Ventura to Virginia Beach. And on that drive, I listened to so many podcasts. And I remember him talking about that. And I'm like, damn, this guy is... a fucking seasoned, you know, comic, and that, you know,
and it's not just the same in stand up. It's improv. It's the same in acting. Here we go. Here's a big one for you, Josh. Coming up this summer, I will be on a new. I'm just going to say this. I can't say too much about it, but I'll be on a new hidden camera show that's going to be on a major network. I'll just leave it
we'll
at that.
Keep that.
It will be this summer, and I'll definitely come back and comment on this post.
We'll leave that one. We'll leave that one hidden.
It's a hidden camera show.
We'll leave the channel hidden.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's see what you got here for.
Yeah.
There was something. What?
A lot of people loved us, so that's cool.
I love you. Thank you, by the way, Josh O'Brien, for stepping up. I got connected with Josh, and I was asked to MC the Los Angeles Film School's annual salute to veterans to support all the vets that go to school there.
Right.
Yeah. And I just want to say thank you. And Karen, of course, my dear friend, Karen Vasquez, who was recently on your show as well, for coming and doing stand up there and giving back to the vets. I know you love giving back to vets as much as I do.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was really cool, cause I didn't understand what it was. I just like, oh, it's kind of like looking at it as, you know, hey, can you be on a show? It's for veterans. And then we hung out. You're like, before the show, usually somebody's just like, you're on a show, and then you go, you do the show, and then that's it. That's it. This is like the opposite of that. So it was, for me, I thought it was really cool because it was like, all right, we want to put together, because you're emceeing this whole like fucking entire series of events.
I take it serious.
No. It was like a series of events, you know? So it wasn't just like stand-up comedy. You have like people are getting awards. Mm-hmm. There are videos. There's like all kinds of other cool stuff going on. It was just like, so you're like, hey, let's get together. And we hung out, we had lunch, talked about that. And then, when it came time to do it, we're like, we just bounced off all this trash talk shit. And at the time, I think I was starting to write some stuff for Vet TV, but a lot of the management left. So what I was going to do, I was going to do some blogs and stuff for them, but some people are gone now. So that shifted and I didn't have the job that I was going to have. And it was like, well, that's cool. I love those guys anyway. They're great people. But, I'm just not there. You know, I wasn't officially there yet anyway. So it wasn't like a big deal. So it's funny too, because I had a lot of stuff fresh in my head already. So I was like, you know, giving you that ammo.
Yeah.
And that was so much fun. Cause I mean, and then when you see somebody else, cause I'm sure when you write for somebody else, you're like, yes, it hit. Cause sometimes when you write, you're like, I hope this works.
Is it going to hit? You're right.
Yeah. And you're like, fuck. Cause you feel like you take ownership of that. Like if it doesn't hit right, you're like, fuck, dude, I'm so sorry.
Writing sketch, it's the same.
And I bet. Cause then like, everybody's gone on except for you personally, because you've moved on. You totally forgot about that. But except for if you wrote it, then you're like, God damn it.
Yeah, you feel responsible.
All right, so we got the socials out of the way. You got that other stuff. What, you got anything else plugged? Do you want to come up or anything else coming up you want to plug? Or
That new Hidden Camera show is coming up. Although it's too late for you to apply for this year, because we literally yesterday just selected the people. If you're in the Los Angeles area, look up the Geffen Playhouse. I'm a teaching artist there. We do a lot of veterans programming. And this summer, we will be doing the Veterans Cultural Identity Monologue Writing and Performance Workshop. That will be on July, I believe, 30th is going to be the performance date. My point is, though, aside from the folks that might want to come watch these awesome vets who are writing and performing their work, their monologues, which, again, stand by for the date. I'm verifying.
All right. Well, you're standing by. I got to say this. If somebody said they're having problems seeing it, but I'm having a great no problem seeing this, so just hit refresh on your phone or computer or whatever you're watching this on.
It was working on my phone too.
It's working on mine right now perfectly. Good. You know, so it's just like it says, Derek Patterson, San Diego guy. I'll be at Aztec Brewery on Saturday, which is in San Diego, north of. Anyways, maybe fuck yeah, shout out to the hockey jerseys. That's right. Me and him used to go hockey jersey shopping when we were in Okinawa. We can hear you guys, but the screen is frozen, is what he says. And I'm like, no, it's good. So just refresh your thing. Did you find the date yet?
Yes, I did. So in Los Angeles, if you want to come support the vets that are going to be doing their cultural identity monologue writing and performance, that will be on Monday, July 31st at the Geffen Playhouse. However, if you are a vet and you are in the Los Angeles area, because obviously the play is in Westwood on the UCLA campus, the Playhouse, look up to get connected with our education department for upcoming veterans programming. We do a lot. Free workshops for vets, the monologue thing, of course, in the summertime. And quick shout out, because I was on the Artist Council with the Armed Services Arts Partnership for a long time. If you are a vet that's interested in getting into improv, sketch, or stand-up, ASAP.org can get you connected to them. Free online classes, and obviously if you're in the DMV area, Hampton Roads, Virginia, you can go to the theater and study in person.
Yeah, that's really cool, because there's like some other friends too that are part of that, which is awesome. And also, like, if you're on active duty or a veteran, man, I highly suggest getting into some sort of one of these the improv classes, because honestly, this
100%.
Like,
yes,
some of the people you meet in those classes will be like your best friends for forever.
Yeah.
And then like if there's like open mics, you start hitting the first crew of people for your first couple of years. That's kind of like considered your class.
That's right.
So like those are some of my best friends, man. Just had Stephen Bowles out here, who like I started here, but I quit comedy because I had to learn a job in Virginia Beach. But when I started back up, I think about a year or two after I started back up, I met him. And so I consider him as we're part of the same class, and had an opportunity to take him to the Comedy Store, because that dude put me up on stage at The Stand in New York, which is an amazing, you know, club. And so I got him. I didn't get him up on stage here, but I put him up at Post 43.
There you
so
go.
There's that. And then
get connected with your local American Legion.
Yeah,
obviously, American Legion,
VFW, something like that. As long as it's not a dark, dingy place where just like you get all sad and talk about Da Nang for fucking all day long. And just some places get weird like that. And I'm like, man, nah. But I like how some of these places are actually doing, what do you call it? some people are, places are actually doing the right thing. They're actually really trying to connect with younger vets instead of, you know, because that's why a lot of these places are failing, is they fail to adapt to the next generation. They want to keep
hard.
They want to keep it going. And it's like, you know, hey, it's got to involve, you know, you have to create an environment for all veterans, because it doesn't say veterans of Vietnam. It's veterans
of all of
foreign wars, yeah, that's, you know, right. Same with the American Legion.
All wars, yeah.
All of them. So
true that.
All right, man. We're going to cut this unless there's anything else you want to discuss about. I'd love to have you back again sometime.
I would love to come back, Josh. Thank you for being such a great advocate for vets and obviously supporting the comedy world. It's not just about getting up there and being a funny person. It's there's some true work to hear that we do.
Another thing too, going back to I'm slowly stealing your thunder again. But going back to the improv, that's the team building thing. That's another thing why I like how it would really help, especially if you're on active duty military, how improv is great for that.
Sure.
You know, because you have to yes and it's kind of like a mess, like we call messes, but an association or something like that while you're in the military, is it's like you go in the room, you're going to fist fight, but when you walk out that fucking room, you're all going to be on the same page. Right. So everybody has to agree with this shit. You know, that's what I love about, you know, the first class mess or the chief's mess or the wardroom or whatever. Yeah, we're going to cuss and discuss this. There might be some fists thrown, but not in today's military, but you get it. But at the end of the day, we got to walk out with a thing. And that's like, you know, you got somebody that throws this thing, yes, and.
That's
you're
right.
Just like, got to accept the shit, build on it, and then send it back your way. And it's a fun team dynamic that a lot of people don't know. But
that's the beauty of not just collaboration and all improv, but that's how we write sketch comedy at Second City, is re-improvisation into sketch. That's how they create sketch, is using that. Man, I love your cat.
Dude, Spaz is the shit, man. I remember we're like, leaving the comedy store, went to like Norm's. It was like 4 a.m. And Stephen Bowles, the dude I was talking about. And he's just, dude, I wonder how Spaz is doing, dude.
Just randomly.
Just that's randomly so out of nowhere. Yeah, man. And Brendan McMurrin, or Bradford McMurrin. Brad McMurrin.
Yeah.
You know the guy?
Uh-uh.
Awesome, dude. You UCB guy. He's part of the Pushers. There's a lot of cool guys about there, but he's the dude that brought me in. So, anything else? This is it.
MilitaryPetClub.com. Get your free snacks for your
at MilitaryPetClub.com at TCS. There you go. All right. So,
thank you so much.
Fuck yeah. Appreciate thanks for coming through. So, for all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I led, thanks for making me a better person. Remember, keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos and never forget. Obi loves you always.